Blog Talk Radio. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Come on, sing.
Yeah. the ending. He is the first and the last. And the living God. He gave us a plan that he has all power in his hand. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. There is nothing too hard for God. We enter into his face with thanksgiving. We enter into his courts with praises. We bless his name. We would like to thank God for today and another day, God. Another day that we can magnify his name. Another day that we can exalt him. Another day that we can come before him. Another day that we can give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. For the word of God said, if I did lift it up, he said that he would draw men, not some men. He would draw all men unto him. Today, we want you to know that God is in control, that God has all power in his hands. The word of God said he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, of all that we ask or think. Today, we want you to know that you serve a risen King, a Savior that paid the price thousands of years ago for our healing, for our deliverance. And today, we want to proclaim the adultery. Uncompromising word of God. That word of God that is able to be our soul. We just get ready for the word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the hour of our broadcast. We are passing by from the holy and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. We're getting ready to be before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we praise you, we thank you, we magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for the you have for the great and the mighty thing you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a light to our feet. Our word is in our heart that we would not sin against. We thank you for the as a we will glorify and magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Stay here on the Hour of Power broadcast. We are experiencing some difficulty on the line. For some reason, we're getting some interference on our line today, but we want you to know that there is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing too hard for God. We are getting ready to come before you today. We're coming from the Old Testament. We're going to be teaching and preaching from 1 Samuel, the 8th. Chapter, 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, beginning at that first verse. And it says, and it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his son judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second was Abithar, and they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his way, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel to Ramah. Excuse me. I'm going to have to discontinue this broadcast on today. The devil is a liar, and we're having a little bit interference. The Lord let us know that the enemy comes to steal, to kill and to destroy. I believe that the enemy don't want the word of God to go out this morning. He don't want the people of God to hear what God is saying at this day and time. We will want to talk to you, and our topic was today, Israel asked for a king. The people of God, the ones that he brought them out of the land of Egypt, and he brought them out with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. He brought them out so they can be free. He brought them out so they be able to serve them. He brought them out so that they could worship him and praise him and give him the admiration that he deserved. So as you're listening to this broadcast, I pray God that you will be touched by the word of God, because when we, it's okay to ask for things that God has given us, things that God has given us a privilege and an opportunity to be able to come before him and to ask him, because he did say to ask and it shall be given. He said to seek and ye shall find. He said to knock and the doors shall be opened. He said that we had the faith of a grain of mustard seed and say to the mountain, be thou moved. He said, it shall be moved. But we have to be careful what we ask for. We have to be careful with our motive. We have to be careful at what's in our heart. Because if we're not careful, then we can quickly displease God. We can quickly come out of the covering of the Almighty God. Our topic for today is, Israel asked for a king. Why would they ask for a king when God, he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords? When he was their Alpha and Omega, when he is the beginning and the end, the first and the last, why would they ask for a king? The word of God tells us that Samuel, who was a prophet, who was the man of God, who was God's mouthpiece, who spoke for God, he spoke the word of life. He gave the word of God to the people as God had given it to them. He spoke unto their lives. He brought forth prophecy to the people. He was a man that God could depend on, a man that God used in that day and that time. But he had two sons, and the scripture gives us these two sons. He tells us that the firstborn was Joel, and the other was Abiah, and they were judges. They were being used in ministry. They were judges in Beersheba. But one of the things that when we read in the word of God, it tells us that Samuel's son, they didn't walk in his ways. See, our ways have to please God. We can walk in different directions. We can do things that pleases us. But when we don't walk according to God's righteousness, not our righteousness, but the righteousness of God, which is by faith. These men, Samuel's son, the man of God's son, they had turned aside after lucre, after money. You see, they started off right. They started off clean. They started off holy. But yet they began to take things, or take money, and they also took bribe. The word of God let us know that bribe is when people, yes, when they take money, when they take anything valuable, when they take something by the promise that they're going to get something in return, especially for their performance. These men were perverted. They had turned away. They had deviated from what God had put them in that office and deviated from the right way. They had turned and they had strayed in their moral acts. They had turned away from the things of God. Anytime you begin to be a perverted, that means that you turn from righteousness to doing the things that are evil. You know, you're perverted. Your mind has turned away from God. So here we see that they turn the money, the monies that they were receiving, that turned their heart. The things in this life can turn our heart from God if we don't let God abide deep down in our soul. The Father said, if ye abide in me, and thy word, my word, abide in you, that you can ask what ye will, and the word of God says that it shall be given unto you. But first, we're going to have to do to stay in the word of God. We're going to have to be a continuer in the things of God. We can't stray from the word of God. These men, these young men who were Samuel's sons, they began to take lucre, bribes. They were perverted in their judgment. In other words, they didn't have good judgment. They didn't use good reasoning. Their judgment was also perverted. They didn't make decisions that was in order. Their decision that it proved they wasn't right. So, therefore, God seen it. Many times, people do things, and they think that God don't see, or God not going to judge them in their unrighteousness and in their unfaithfulness. They do it and continually to do these things. The word of God says that these men had turned aside after these things. And you have to ask yourself this morning, what have you turned aside to? What are you doing that you were doing righteous and walking in righteousness, and you turned away from that? They were Samuel's sons, but yet they had begun to do unrighteous things. And in that fourth verse it says, then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel to Ramah and said to him, behold, you are old, and your sons walk not in your ways. They're saying, Samuel, you got old. You know, was a man of God, he's a man of God, but you get old. Your sons, they're not walking in the way. They're not walking in the way you walk, Samuel. But then the request came, because they didn't just come just to be coming, but they came and they said, now make us a king to judge us like all the other nations. We have to be careful as to the reason why we do what we do and the decisions, why we make the decisions that we make. They wanted a king because other nations had kings. Oh, they had the King of Kings. They had the Lord of Lords. But, oh, no, this is not going to be good enough for us. You know, they already remind him that he was old. He was getting old, and his son wasn't following in his way. They wanted a king like the other nations. In that sixth verse, it says, But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. They knew. Samuel knew within himself what they were doing. They knew the mentality of these people. So he began to pray. He began to pray before God. In that seventh verse, it says, and the Lord said to Samuel, after he prayed, the man should always pray and not to faint. Samuel could have said, oh, well, do what you want to do. You know, I've done what God helped me to do. Do what you want to do. Have it your way and forget you. You know how people do say stuff like that, forget you. You know, like, you know, I'm not going to be bothered with you. Just get lost. But Samuel went and he prayed, just like he should have prayed, just like God expected him to pray. And God answered Samuel. This is what the Lord said. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken to the voice of the people and all that they say to you. But they have not, listen, they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. See, God knew the heart. God knew the intent of these people's heart. He said to them, they just don't want me to reign. It's not they're coming against you. But they're coming against me. And then God said, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt. See, God has a remembrance now. And he knew how he loved them. He knew and remember how he brought them out with a strong hand and with a fleshed out arm when they was under the taskmasters. When the taskmasters were doing them injustice, working them harder and harder, doing things that they shouldn't have done, they was not in freedom, they didn't have liberty, but they cried unto God. God heard them, and God answered them. But dear, the word of God says, he said to them in that 8th verse, he said, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and have served other gods, so do they also to you. See, you know, when they came out of Egypt, he thought they would have been thankful and grateful. And they would do everything that they could in order to please God. And they did for a while. They were happy because they were out. But don't you see how sometimes when people are going through situations in their lives and God bring them out, and then they begin to rejoice, and then they begin to turn away from God, and they begin to do wicked things, say things, go places, do things that are not pleasing to God. These people of Israel, I'm telling you, some of these people, they were stiff-necked. I mean, some of these people were rebellious. Some of these people was liars, and some of these people did things that was not according to God's word. But he loved them, and he knew who he was dealing with. He knew the people that he had brought out of Egypt. He said, even to this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also to you. Now, therefore, hearken, listen to them, to their voices. However, yet protest solemnly to them and show them the manner of a king that shall rule over them. I'm going to give you a king. So God told Samuel, listen to them, hearken to their voices. But yet, you know, God is such an awesome God. He was going to let them know the king. They wanted a king, and they were going to let them know who they were getting, what kind of king that was going to reign over them. Here the word of God says in that 10th verse, and Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people that asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of a king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariot, and for his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariot. And he will appoint him captains over thousands, and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments a wall, and to an instrument of his chariot. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, and to be cooks, and to be bakers. And he will take your fields, and your vineyards, and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed, and of your vineyard, and give to his officers, and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants, come on, and your goodest young men, the best young men, and your asses, and put them to work, to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and you shall be his servant. And you shall cry out in that day because your king, which you have chosen, the Lord will not hear you in that day. Oh, my. Did you hear what God said? Oh, my God. This is really a word from God. This is a word that God was speaking to these people. And God is even speaking to us on this morning. After all this, he warned them. He let them know what the king that they chose was going to do to them and how he was going to use them and how he's going to take from them. And here the word of God says, you know, remember how they cried to him in Israel? God let them know in that 18th verse. He said, you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. He will not hear you in that day. This is what you want. You have rebelled against me. You have conspired. You didn't want me, you didn't love me, you didn't appreciate me, you didn't respect me as being God. You didn't come before me as children, humble before me, and now you want your own king, you want somebody else, you want flesh to rule over you. So these are the things that I've read before. These are the things that are going to happen to those people. And then they're not going to like it. He let them know, no, you're not going to like this. You're not going to be happy with what the king that you want is going to do unto you. But he let them know that he was not going to hear them. You can pray, but I'm not going to hear you. You can cry, but I'm not going to hear you. The Bible wants us to choose Christ. The Bible says in Joshua 24 and 15, to choose you this day whom you're going to serve. And Joshua said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We need to make a choice. Are we going to serve things or people? Are we going to serve the true and the living God? Are we going to serve people or things in this life? Are we going to serve God? It's time for us to make a choice. In that 20th verse, we're almost there. We're almost there. I hope that even as we are going through this word of God today, as you can play back in your mind as to how these people rejected Christ. Have you ever been rejected in your life? Have you ever gone through rejection? Have anybody ever rejected you? You may have been on a baseball team, and they had several players, and you were one of them, and they had to pick the player that they wanted their team. They keep pulling, and nobody accepted you on their team because they didn't think that you were good enough, whether it was football, basketball, whether it was on a debate team, whatever it was. They didn't take you because of the life that you live. You know, you could have been a Christian, and people rejected you because of the word of God that was in you. They rejected you because of the faith that you had in God. They rejected you because you believed God. They rejected you because you didn't talk the way they did. You didn't go the places that they had gone. Oh, my God. God, let them know that you are rejected. That, like he told Samuel, they're not rejecting you, but they are rejecting me. And I can imagine, you can imagine within yourself, because I know everybody at one time or another have been rejected in their lives. You have been rejected, and you should remember the way that it felt when someone rejected you. We all put ourselves in certain places, and to know the way that God feels when we rejected him. When you don't woke us up in the morning, when you let the breath come out in our mouth and our nose, and it's still breath, we're still breathing. Oh, my God, that's God. We all celebrate God. Our eyes are open. Oh, my God, the blood is still running in our veins. We still have the active use of our limbs. It's only God that did this for us. But when God does things and we play like he didn't do it, that's a hurting thing to God, because he said he is a jealous God. He said he have no other God before him. So therefore, when we do things of this nature, these things, that it is a rejection. These people was not faithful to God. They had their own objective. They had their own thoughts. They had their own duty. They was not loyal to him. They came this. They was not connected. They were detached. They wasn't committed. They didn't stay consistently before his face. So here, God knew them. He knew what kind of people they were, and so therefore he let them know. And there were many, many, many times that the Israelites, it wasn't the first time that they turned away from God. Remember when Moses and Aaron, how Moses had went up to talk to God? And this was after God had brought them out of Egypt land. How they began to, as Moses was gone for a while, and these people say, my goodness, after they were gone for a while, they began to complain, and he began to seek the things of his life, and they were not satisfied with God, and they began to want Aaron to make them a calf, make them a god. They don't know. They said they didn't know what Moses were. You know, people of something. They didn't even. They say they didn't know what God. But God has done all those things for them. They were so ungrateful. They began to take their jewelry, their earrings, their nose rings, all of these things that they had. They brought them to Aaron for him to make them a calf. So that they can worship the calf. I mean, what kind of people were these? And Aaron had began, you know, sometimes, you know, you may have to stand alone in your decision. You may have to stand alone in what you know that is right. You may sometimes have to stand alone when a multitude of people come after you. I mean, and I can understand and I can hear in the heart how the people, how they came to Aaron. And it was a lot of them. And I believe they was on one mind and one accord, a lot of them. And they wanted Aaron to make them a calf so they can worship a calf. So they can worship something other than God. And yet, Moses left Aaron in charge while he went again to talk to God. And these stiff-necked, disobedient people got Aaron. Aaron had a mind of his own. Now, I'm not saying that they made him do this, because he had a mind of his own. And he could have stood faithful and righteous before the Almighty God and refused to do what was wrong. Why? Because he was the leader when Moses was gone. He was the man of God that was in charge. But because he wanted to please the people, because he wanted to make them happy, because he probably didn't want to hear their voices coming after him, he decided that they were going to make this golden calf. They were going to make this image for them to worship. This is why God remembered the things that the people did and how disobedient they were. That's why I'm saying to you that there are people that would love God today for the things that God do for them. Some people say, I remember when God brought me out with a strong hand, and he did, and a stretched out arm. I remember when God did great and mighty things for me. I remember when he healed me of the disease that I had in my body. You know the time when I had a disease in my body, and God healed me. And then a few years later, then they began to think about God had moved for them lately, they began to turn to other things. Witches, warlocks. Come on. Come on now. But they began to turn from the truth and the living God. They began to live a life that's if they didn't even know God. How easily can we turn away from the things of God? And this is what the Israelites did. They rejected. Once again, they were rejecting God. Once again, they had turned their face, apostasy. They had turned their face away from God. They had turned their heart away from God. But God let them know. Go ahead. Let Samuel know. Give them what they want. He even told them to listen to them. Give them the king. But he was straight with them to let them know what was going to happen in the future. If this was going to make you happy, I'm going to give you a king. Like the other nations. That means that let God know that they that God was not good enough for them. They wanted somebody to touch and to feel. I want somebody that I can look in their face. I want somebody that's gonna I can kneel down and see who I'm praying to or worship. But this was and is not the plan of God. This is not his plan for his people. The word of God says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked ways, he said, then will I hear from heaven. He said that he will forgive the sin. He said that he will heal the land. If we turn, if we humble ourselves, the people then, the people now have a problem with humbling themselves before the Almighty God. We're living in a day that in those last days, because the word of God says he's coming like a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus Christ came that we can have life and that we can have it more abundantly. God wants us to have abundant life in him. I'm reminding you that yes, God wants us to have abundant life as people, but if we don't do the will of the Father, if we don't obey him, if we don't love him with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our spirit, we are not going to make him happy. We are not going to receive eternal life in him. Because the word of God says every knee will bow. Every knee will bow before him. And every tongue will confess before him. So I'm saying to you today that don't be like those people in the first Samuel, that eighth chapter. I'm going to end up with these those last few verses. Since I've gone this far, why don't I just go all the way? It says, after he had said about in that 19th verse that he was going to refuse them, here we see in that 20th and the 21st and 22nd verse, and that we also may be like all the nations. This is what they were saying. They want to be like all the other nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. I mean, that was a slap in the face. If I ever seen a slap, that was a slap in the face. And Samuel heard all these words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken to their voices and make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, go you every man to his city. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the word of God that came forth. Father, I believe, God, that you sent a word on today. Lord, even, Father, at the beginning of this broadcast, the enemy tried to cause this broadcast not to come on today. But Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you praise and glory. I pray, God, that every hearer that heard the word of God, that they would know that God is God, or that God is God all by himself. I believe, God, that you're speaking to the people today. I believe, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you are a jealous God. I believe, God, that no God is to come before you. I believe, Father, in the name of Jesus, that your word of God is like a two-edged sword. Father, I believe, God, that you abundantly. I pray, God, that the people in the audience today, and God, those that are hearing this message today, God, that your word said, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised them from the dead, you said that they shall be saved. Now, Lord, I pray, God, even now, God, that every man, woman, girl, boy, God, that life, eternal life through the word of God will be there. God, that they will live this life so that they can live again. God, that they'll put you first in their lives, Lord God. God, that they will not reject you like the people of God in those days, like the Israelites, God, rejected you. God, that they, God, will come before you with faithfulness and righteousness. God, that their heart will not be perverted, Lord God, like Samuel's son was, and like the people were, God. God, I ask this in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do, God, according to your word. Father, there's some that are not saved. Lord God, you say that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised them from the dead. You said, God, that we shall be saved. God, it's another day, God, that people can give their lives to you. God, it's another day, God, that they can say yes to your will and yes to your way, God. It's another day, God, that they don't have to refuse you, Lord God, as being God, as being the Savior, as being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, we thank you for the President of the United States of America. We thank you, God, for the office that he holds. But Lord God, the President, the Vice President, Congress, Senate, Tea Party, Independent, all of these people, they cannot take the place of you. So we pray even now that you will have your way, God, that you will touch them, God, that you will make the difference in their lives. And for this, we will glorify and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You have been listening to the Hour of Power broadcast, coming live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. I'm the preacher of the hour, Dr. Mary Smith McCord. Please tune in on next week as we again preach the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God that's able to deliver you and able to make you free. But the word of